In today's Mishnah, we learn the first and second Mishnah from the third Perek of Masechet Eruvin. And the Mishnah begins, B'chol ma'arvin, you can use any food to form an Eruv, or mishtatvim, or shituf mavoi, chutz min ha'mayim u'melach, except for water or salt. Now, when we learn Masechet Eruvin, we have to be very careful to ask which Eruv are we referring to. The Batanura in this Mishnah says we must be referring to Eruv Tchumim and not an Eruv Chatzerot. So if you remember, an Eruv Chatzerot, which we discussed in yesterday's Mishnah, is the food that everyone contributed in a shared Chatzer, which enabled them to carry within that Chatzer. He said it cannot be referring to an Eruv Chatzerot because for an Eruv Chatzerot, that is formed over bread. It must be referring to Eruv Tchumim. So if you remember, that relates to the Isur of Tchum, meaning one is not allowed to walk beyond 2,000 amot, beyond the city limit on Shabbat. If one wanted to do so, they have to move their Shvitah. They have to move their point in which they consider their dwelling point, and they can do this. One of the ways they can do this is by placing meals at a distance to one direction of the city. And that moves their center of radius in which they can walk towards one way. So it gains them some distance in one direction, say to the east, but they will lose towards the west. And that is done, once again, as I've explained, with some food. And the next one we mentioned in the Mishnah is a shituf mavoi. If you recall, that is referring to a dead-end alleyway onto which many chatzerot open up. And in order to carry in that space, as we mentioned when we started the Masechta, you have to either put a lechi or a korah, a signpost or a crossbeam, and then they combine with the shituf mavoi in terms of contributing food and placing it all in one chatzer, one courtyard. So Mishnah says, to do either Eruv Tchumim or Shituf Mavoi, you can use any food except for water or salt. Important, the Gemara says, that's lav davka. You've got to be careful when you see general rules in a Mishnah, because one is also not allowed to use, say, pitriot, which is, or kmehim, you can use mushrooms, because that's not considered mazon. The Mishnah continues, Vakol nikach bekesef meiser. So if you remember, in our discussion about a year ago, or even less than that now, the second tithe that one separates in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year is called Maaser Sheni. That is meant to be taken to Yerushalayim by the owners and eaten there. Another option, if they cannot transfer the entire amount, is to transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni onto money, and they take the money to Yerushalayim. Ideally, when they get there, they're meant to purchase a korban, but they can purchase, the Mishnah is telling us, any food except for chutz min ha-mayim or melach, except for water or salt. And we discussed, when we learned Maaser Sheni, the reasons why those two are excluded. Let's continue. Hanoder min ha-mazon. Son makes a neder, meaning he makes an oath against getting any benefit from mazon. Then he can, which is literally food, then he's asked for from consuming anything except for maim or melach, water or salt is excluded from that neder. Importantly, the Batanura says it's not referring to when the person says, Ya'aser alai, I prohibit myself any mazon, because that refers specifically to food from the five grains. Rather, he must have been saying, Kol hazan alai, anything that is nourishing, I'm making zakonam, I'm making asur to myself. And since maim melach is not considered things that are nourishing, therefore they're not included in that neder. Let's now move on to the concept of eruvin. So what can you use or can you not use? Mishnah says, ma'arvin li nazir biyayin. You can use wine for an eruv for a nazir. A nazir is an individual who takes on a particular oath. One of the things he's not allowed to consume is wine or grape products. So Mishnah is saying, one can still use wine for the purpose of this eruv. Of Tchumim, despite the fact that this Nazir himself can't consume it, since it is edible to somebody, it can be used. Uli Israel, likewise for an Israel, meaning for a non-Kohen, you can use Truma for it. Again, despite the fact a Israel cannot consume it, since a Kohen can, it can be used. However, Sumchus disagrees. He says, Sumchus Omer Bechulin, you can only use Chulin, meaning for an Israel, for a non-Kohen, it can only be food he himself can consume, because it requires that the Eruv is edible to the for the person for which this Eruv is being formed. Interestingly, he agrees that you can use wine for a Nazir. Why? That is because the Nazir can do a she'ela, he can come to a chacham and undo his neder, even on Shabbat, which would enable him to drink this wine. Therefore, wine is appropriate for him for his use. Let's continue. V'lo kohen be'beit ha'pras. Now, a beit ha'pras is a field in which a kever, a grave, has been plowed through. A kohen himself is not allowed to become tamemet. because there's a concern that when this grave was plowed through, it's possible that there's a bone that's the size of Etzem Kesorah, which itself is a source of Tumah, could be anywhere in this field. The Chachamim made a gzeira that a Beit HaPras, the entire field, is a source of Tumah, b'magah, through contact, or ma'asaba, by carrying it. So why can you place an Erev Tumim in this location if you cannot access it? Well, that is because there is a means in which the Kohen can access his Erev Tumim. That is, if he goes through the field and blows the top surface of the soil, the loose soil, away, such that he can be certain that when he's walking in that area, he will not move any bone, even if it was there. That would be a means of his accessing it. Rabbi Yehuda says, I feel the Beit HaKvarot, even in a cemetery, you could place this Erev Tchumim. Why? How can the Kohen access it? Well, there is an avenue he can access. Mimeshiachole lech lachutz, he is able to go, for example, in a box, such that he is not ma'ahil, he's not over any of the graves, and that would be a way of him getting there, v'le'echol, and eating it. Interestingly, here, Kahati quotes a Gemara that this debate even applies to a non-Kohen. Why is that? That is because one is not allowed to get any benefit, what's called hana'a, from a cemetery. So, accordingly, one would think that you, since you're gaining benefit from the fact this Erev Tchumim is placed in the cemetery, well, you're not allowed to do that. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason why you can is one is only allowed to place an Erev Tchum for the purposes of a mitzvah. That's the only time you're allowed to use this Erev Tchumim. Now, since mitzvot lav lehenot nitno, meaning it's not considered gaining benefit if you do something for the purpose of a mitzvah, therefore you're not getting benefit from the Beit HaKvarot, so you're liable to place Erev Tchumim there. However, according to Chachamim, there's still another benefit you're getting. That is, when you place it in the cemetery, you don't want it to be stolen. The fact that it's being protected within this cemetery is another level of benefit you're gaining, and you're not allowed to get hana'ah from a Beit HaKvarot, from a cemetery, therefore you shouldn't place it there. Now let's learn Mishnah Beis. The second Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ma'arvin b'demai. You're allowed to make an Erev Tchumim or an Erev Chatzerot or Shituf Mavoi using demai. So if you recall, demai is produce that's purchased from an Ama Aretz, and we're concerned he didn't separate all from, he didn't do Hafrasha. And we learned the Masechta, when it came, Masechta demai, if you remember, there was no concern about, say, Truma Gedola, because universally everyone separated Truma Gedola, the first small amount that separated. However, there was still a suffix regarding everything else. However, if you also remember, part of the gezerah that was placed, because it wasn't really such a suffix, such a doubt, was that we're allowed to give two people demai. Either it was soldiers, as we learned very recently, or even aniim. Consequently, since someone could theoretically relinquish ownership of all their property and become an ani, therefore demai is also fit for them to considered fit for them to consume, and therefore one would be able to use demai to form an eruv. Let's continue. Masa rishon shenitla trumato. Likewise, if you remember, the first tithe to separate is called a masa rishon, and that masa rishon, the first tithe, is given to a Levi. He himself has to separate a tenth from that, which is called Trumat Maiser. And then what is left over is considered his, and really anyone can eat it. So the Mishnah cannot simply just be referring to the case where Maiser Rishon and you've taken the Trumat Maiser out, because that would be obvious. The novelty of this Mishnah, if you remember, we learned this back in Brachot and also recently in Shabbos, as many of the cases we'll see in this Mishnah, it's referring to a case where he's what's called Makdim Bashibolim. Meaning, the Levi came and took Maaser Rishon prior to the point which is called Miro Hakeri, when the produce itself is chayv to separate Truma. So prior to the pile being smoothed over, so he said, for example, he took it while there were still stalks or in bundles. In that situation, when he does so, all he has to separate is Trumat Maaser. The Levi does not have to separate Truma Gedola, and that's learned from the Pasuk, that he only has to separate Maaser mena Maaser, meaning only one Maaser, and not Truma Gedola as well. However, and sorry, Mishnah continues, another situation is Maaser Sheni v'Hekdes Sheniftu. So I can use Maaser Sheni, which is the second tithe, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, that's normally taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there, or Hekdesh, which is property consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, that have been redeemed. The novelty here is that even if it's been redeemed, but the extra chumash, the extra amount, has not been added onto it. The extra amount literally means a fifth, but it's really 25% of the principal amount. Despite the fact the chumash hasn't been added yet, then we can still use that produce, the Maaser Sheni or the Hekdesh, as our Eruv. Similarly, the Mishnah contains of a Kohanim, Bechala or Betruma. Likewise, Kohanim can use Chala or Truma. I'll leave this for your further study, because in previous Mishnah we said even a Levi can use, even Israel you could use Truma for his Eruv. A simple understanding is that simply that's the Derech, that usually it will be only Kohanim that will use an Eruv, make an Eruv with Chala and Truma. Let's continue. However, one cannot use Tevel. Tevel is produce where nothing's been separated yet, because nobody's allowed to eat from that produce, therefore it cannot be used as a substance for an Eruv. And what's the novelty then? Novelty is even if it's Tevel Midrabbanan, meaning rabbinic Tevel. Because, for example, if produce grew in a potted plant that didn't have a hole in its base, that min haTorah it's exempt from separating Trumas and Maaser, it's only rabbinically required. Still, such produce or food would not be able to be used to form an Eruv. Next, V'loba Maaser Rishon Shno Nitla Trumato. Likewise, Maaser Rishon from which Truma has not been separated. Now, again, what's the novelty here? Here we're referring to a case where the Maaser Rishon was separated after Miruah HaKeri, and Truma Gadola was not yet separated when the Levi took it. So Mishnah is telling us, not only does the Levi have to, in this case, separate Trumat Maaser, the tenth he normally has to separate from his Maaser Rishon, but it would also, in this case, have to separate the Truma Gadola as well. That first amount that the owner has to separate, because the Maaser Rishon was taken too early in this context, after the obligation of Truma Gadola would have to be separated as well. Let's continue. Likewise, the second title, Hekdesh, that has not yet been redeemed. Now, what this Mishnah is saying is, if it hasn't been redeemed at all, obviously you cannot. However, what it's telling us is, even if one attempted to redeem it, but in a fashion that was not halachically acceptable. For example, he tried to use an asimon, a token, to redeem Maaser Sheni instead of money. Or he tried to transfer the Kedusha of the Hekdesh onto land. In those situations, one would not be able to use Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh to form an Eruv. Next, Mishnah says, HaShaleach Eruvo. If someone sends his Eruv, meaning his Eruv Tchumim, to place it at a distance from the city, and he does so in the hands of a Cheresh Shot of a Katan, meaning a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor. These people are people that are not considered Bnei Daat, do not have halachic knowledge in order to act as a Shaleach. Or he sends a biyad mishe'enu modo be'eruv, he sends in the hand of someone that does not agree with the concept of Eruv Tchumim, doesn't believe in it, for example, the Kuti. Mishnah says, then it's not considered an Eruv. So clearly we understand Chereshot of a Katan, that is because they cannot act as a Shaliach, they cannot act as an agent for these purposes, or for really as a Shaliach at all. Or mishe'enu, and what's the issue with someone who doesn't agree with Eruv? Because we're concerned he's not going to fulfill his Shlichot. And this is even if we see him walking there and placing it down, we're concerned that since he doesn't believe in it, he thinks it's hocus pocus, then he will not have the commander say, I'm requiring this place as a shvita, as a dwelling place on behalf of the person who's sending it for us, who sent me. However, he says, v'im amar l'cha acher l'kablo mimenu, if he says to somebody else, take the Eruv that I'm sending you in the hand of this chereshot of a katan or kuti, then it's considered an Eruv. Then it would be effective. The Gemara explains that is when he's seeing this, say, the katan, taking it and delivering it directly in the hands of the person who he wants to actually do the shlichut for him. However, he doesn't actually have to see that shliach placing it down, because we have the assumption that there's a chazaka, that a shliach, an agent, is oseh shlichuto, does that which he is instructed to do. Those are the Mishnah today.